fellow Freedom Facts fans, back Faith and Freedom Show. Those of you who just heard that tune is based on a story that comes out of the Bible, and it's a faith story song, and that's why it's actually here, the voice of truth. The reason I do that is because it often I say on the show that our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. What happens is we give in to fear, and we get overwhelmed. We don't overcome, and because of our lack of faith. The more that our nation loses its faith, originally was a Christian faith, a faith that you would love your neighbor as yourself in spite of your fear that you might not get your particular favorite balanced benefit or something. Oh, it might not be fair. You got to have enough faith that it's not going to be fair. It's just going to work out in the long run. I mean, there's little weird little things that we capitulate to. But the Voice of Truth story is about, basically, it talks about David facing Goliath. You know, when everybody else is cowering, you got this one audacious little guy, teenager, who's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would mock the armies of the living God? You know, is there not a cause? I'm going to go whack this guy. If you won't, I'm going to do it. I shouldn't have to be the one doing it. But because you're going to stand idly by, I can't tolerate this. I'm going. So that was the kind of thing. All right. No matter what's standing against you, if you've got, and I'm going to come back to this. I think at the beginning of the next break, I'm going to quote something that I heard this morning. I went to a funeral about a young man who is, who was born in 1972. So he's 37 years old, and he died of MS or muscular dystrophy. I'm not sure. What's the Jerry's kid? Let's just say he was the Jerry's kid, okay? And what happened is he was just a wonderful young man who physically couldn't do anything. And he lived to the age of 37. And there's a point about 5 years ago, he couldn't understand what he said because his muscles weren't working in his face. And I realized, you know, this guy was one of the least of these that really needed us to visit him. And so he died just a few days ago, and there was a memorial today for him. And when I was there, something was read. And I'm going to read it just the beginning, opening of next break. And I think it's apropos. I think you cannot just sit here and say, okay, we're going to gird up our loins and be tough. Guys, we don't have what it takes to pull off what needs to be done. However, we've got to be willing to stand. And then when we come back to the break, I'm going to tell you about a source that we can tap into that'll enable us to overcome. So that'll be at the beginning of the next break. Right here on this one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about this idea where there'll be a court building put inside a prison facility in the United States to deal with those detainees at Guantanamo Bay in particular. But ultimately, there's an implication that it could deal with other people as well. And that is raising some ire among some people and the fact and fears in some people that having these people on the site, on their land, puts them in danger, as if the walls can't hold them. So here's an idea. Building a court facility within a prison site where military or criminal defendants could be tried, and that scares some libertarians, potentially rightly so. Doing so would create a single venue for almost all the criminal defendants, that's Guantanamo Bay types, ending the need to transport them elsewhere in the U.S. for trial. Now, my question is right there is why would they have to go anywhere else anyway if they truly were guys that were Taliban or whatever and Al-Qaeda that were taken up from Afghanistan. Providing long-term holding cells for a small but still undetermined number of detainees who will not face trial because intelligence and counterterror officials conclude that they are too dangerous to risk being freed. So essentially it's perpetual political prisoners. That's not unprecedented. We use a lot of P's, but that's something to be talked about. And that's where in the Constitution it talks about having the suspending of habeas corpus, and we can explain that if you want me to, give us a call at 888-850-1872, 888-850-1872. We can talk about that. Building immigration detention cells for detainees ordered released by courts, but still behind bars because countries are unwilling to take them. So here you got somebody, okay, we can't prove anything that'll put them to death. We can't prove anything that'll give them life imprisonment, but we have to get rid of them, but nobody will take them. What do we do with those guys? Each proposal, according to experts in constitutional and national security law, faces legal and logistics problems. Makes sense. Scott Silman from director of Duke's University Center on Law, totally unprecedented. And he says it's basically you're going to need Congress to intervene, to make a law, to explain what needs to be done. Otherwise, we gain nothing. All you're going to do is have a Guantanamo in Kansas. He says you've got very strict jurisdictional issues on a venue of federal court. Why would you bring courts from all under the country to one facility rather than having them prosecuted in the districts where the courts sit? Well, in that case, is he talking about Americans getting pulled off the streets? I mean, why else would he worry about any other court? Legal experts said civilian trials held inside the prison could face jury selection dilemmas in rural areas because of the limited number of potential jurors available. Now, that's a little bit weird. Let's just skip that. It says as many as an estimated 170 detainees now at Guantanamo are likely to be prosecuted. Some are being held indefinitely because government officials do not want to take a chance of seeing them acquitted in trial. Now, that's scary. Oh, we don't want these guys to get off because they're innocent. Well, that could, I mean, that is pretty scary. I think that can be taken in a context light more favorable to the executive agency on that one, but it's potential that could be really bad. Oh, we just hate this person and we want them in jail indefinitely. And I've seen U.S. attorneys and state attorneys from working for attorney general's office just be vindictive in spite of the facts, in spite of the law, because they hate somebody. And then I'll tell you what, it's amazing what courts will do to oppress people who are just not loved by the prosecutor. The rest are considered candidates for release, but the U.S. cannot find foreign countries willing to take them. And almost all of them have been yet to be charged with a crime. Let's see what else they got here. Okay. Senate Armed Services Commission Chairman, Services Chairman Carl Levin and Representative Bart Stupak, both Democrats, have said they would be open to detainees to Michigan as long as there is broad local support. Now, stop. Here's our problem here. What happened originally is Mr. Obama had a plan to do what they're suggesting here, but Congress said, wait a minute. We're not going to let you do it until we see what it is you want to do. And then they withheld funding. The problem is, look what happens now. If they don't have the guts to figure out what the law requires, what is the lawful thing to do, no matter where it lands. Now, okay, if it lands in Delaware, we won't mind because they don't have a lot of power. They've only got one congressperson. So you can do it in Delaware. But you're not going to do it in California because we've got more congresspersons. You know what I mean? Don't look at that. Don't look at the weeds. That means you're evil. Either is it lawful or is it not lawful? And if it's lawful, then of course, yes, you determine that before you look at what he wants to do. Figure out what's lawful. But they didn't have the guts to do that. They were going to basically make their approval based on what the idea was to determine whether it was pragmatic instead of lawful. So that just indicates that these folks are wicked. And they, of course, you know, if there's nobody in Congress telling them that, that explains this principle, then they're going to run amok and we're going to see this kind of stuff. So, okay. So they say, well, if we have a broad support here in Michigan, then I'll approve it. Now, watch this. And this is why, watch what I'm, where I'm saying is true. Administration officials said the U.S. disciplinary barracks at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, is under consideration because it's already a hardened high-security facility that could be further protected by the surrounding military base. By the way, they've got a good volleyball team there. I watched them through the gate one time across the field. That was kind of interesting. I was looking. I wasn't in jail. I was just driving by it. So that was a little bit strange. So Fort Leavenworth. And then watch. Oh, wait a minute. The GOP-dominated congressional delegation is dead set against moving Guantanamo detainees to Leavenworth. Residents told Senator Pat Roberts, a Republican of Kansas, at a town hall meeting in May that 95% of the community, local community, opposes it. Now let's step back constitutionally. It doesn't matter what 99.999 or 100% of the local community says if it's on Fort Leavenworth. They have exclusive federal jurisdiction. Read the Constitution. Now, I love you to death, folks in Kansas, and I appreciate your concern. The problem is when your legislature abdicated the property for the federal fort under the U.S. Constitution. It's exclusive federal jurisdiction. So let's get our passions out of it, step back to the Constitution, and realize if they want to put anybody and their brother in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, they have the complete, total autonomy to do so. Your local concern matters not. And if somebody escapes and commits a terrorist act at your local supermarket, then there's a recourse in law is you can sue them for the damages or something like that. The odds of that happening are extremely, nearly completely impossible. But if it happens, there is a recourse. So these are issues that people aren't thinking about. Well, what about this? What do local people say? What do you feel about what the local people say? Here on the Liberty Works Radio Network, our concern is, even for ourselves, even if we feel strongly against something, we're going to hold ourselves accountable to step back and look at the Constitution and look at the law and realize that we have a tendency to be depraved sometime, and our passions can get the better of us. There's a point at which we have to say, oh, hey, there's this Constitution. They put it together when people were not being overly passionate and they were very calm, cool, and collected, and had a whole bunch of people talking about these kind of issues, even in a hypothetical manner. And so if Fort Leavenworth is exclusive federal territory because it's been yielded by the Kansas legislature to become federal property for the purpose of a fort, according to the U.S. Constitution, they have exclusive jurisdiction. And we're just out of luck. Now, why don't they? I got an idea. What about Fort Knox? Fort Knox has, I remember when I was a kid, kept hearing about this high security in Fort Knox because they were protecting all the gold. And as I understand it now, there isn't any. So you've got an available facility, unless, of course, they've bulldozed it, which they probably have. I'm not really sure, unless they're doing tours or something. I have no idea. But that's what's going on. So you're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm having a weird conversation. That's what I do. I poke you in the brain. And we come back, I'm going to have something that I think is a neat thing I heard this morning. I've heard before. But it was a wonderful reminder of who we are, what we're made up of, and what is a natural thing built into us, designed in us, that where it gives us a desire to have a resource for us to do those things that are necessary to be ever vigilant, to love our neighbor as ourself, and to do it without groaning too much, and to be able to fight the fight and keep the faith and all those things that are necessary to keep our nation free and to love our neighbor as ourself. In fact, that's the mechanism. I think that is the mechanism that's going to get us there. That's why I say it all the time. In this article, let's see, administration officials say they are determined to keep Mr. Obama's promise of closing Guantanamo Bay as of January 2010. And let's see, Glenn Sulmasi, international law professor at U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut, said the prison court complex will be difficult, but it's logical. So this is something I think is people are going to have to be dealing with is a prison, a court system for detainees inside a prison. And some people are concerned because of the Military Commissions Act that this could now become a Tower of London for you and me, political dissentees or whatever who might be deemed so because we have a crazy idea of talking about this stuff on the airwaves in such a way where we're actually trying to scrutinize the behaviors of people who happen to be in government. And we do it freely and sometimes say things that people don't want to hear. What happens if it comes a day where somebody says, oh, your allegiance isn't to whatever, and they may be wrong. But once I get claimed, have that claim against me, I could get put off in the hoosegow without having a trial for a while. So that's one of the things that people are concerned about. We're going to come back here at the Eagle 104.3 FM. The number here is 888-850-1872. We come back. I'm going to give us a little inspiration as we proceed.